Well, grief is a whole body response to loss. It's simply our body's way of dealing with change and transition, and especially those that contain some loss issues. So it's emotional. We often think of that with the tears, the sadness, the anger, the rage at something that is untoward in our life. It's cognitive. How fast was he driving? What does stage 4 cancer mean? What do you mean I'm redundant? So we have lots of cognitive questions. It's also spiritual. What kind of world? What kind of God? Does this make sense? Is this fair? All of those questions. One that I think many people misunderstand, and it relates even to the grief at work, is it's also a visceral, a physical response to loss. The way that we know it is people will say, why am I so tired? I just don't have the energy to do anything more right now. I just can't make another decision. Well, is that only cognitive? Is that emotional? It's probably all of that. But it's also just that grieving itself takes a bit of our energy, and so it's also a physical response to loss.
Now, one of the things you suggest is that people should have a healing plan. So what do you mean by that?
Well, if grieving does take our whole body, then if we can bring our whole selves to it, our better selves, rather than our depleted selves, then we're likely to do it better because we bring more of our capacity. And so a healing plan is to ask ourselves, what is it that lifts our spirits? What is it that rejuvenates us? What is it that brings a bit of spark? An example, Donald Hall, the former poet laureate in our country, was diagnosed with terminal colon cancer. A friend said, well, Donald, what are you going to miss most? If you die, what are you going to miss? And Donald began to talk about family and friends. And he said, no, I'm not asking about family or friends. I know that. What else will you miss when you die? And Donald was still up to the test. And he said, well, I'll probably miss starting every day with a hot black cup of coffee, reading the Boston Globe, the paper in New England, listening to the Red Sox lose another game. And the friend came back with a caring confrontation and said, Donald, if those are things that give you pleasure, if those are things that give you joy, do it now. Don't let the cancer get in the way. So that's a healing plan. If there are things that bring you a bit of joy, if there are things that lift your spirit, if there are things that you enjoy, then even in spite of the grieving or the bereavement, try to interject some of those in your life so that you bring your better self to the grief work, to the bereavement work, rather than your depleted, wiped self.
I suppose, though, a lot of people would find that very difficult if they get really bad news about health or, sadly, if there's a bereavement. You know, so they may need somebody. So should they go and talk to somebody?
Well, two things there. One is that there are some people who think that you have to do these in sequence. So I do the grieving, and once I get through the grieving, however long that takes, then I can move to joy, to hope, to some of the pleasures of life. And I think that's a bit contradictory because it's not living after loss, it's living with loss. And trying to find some way to find some balance between the grieving and the hope and the healing and the joy and so on. But yes, at moments, especially in that period where it's new news and we're just overwhelmed with it, we're going to need much more of the grieving. And so our focus is much more there. And so the hope and the joy may be quite small in proportion. Hopefully over time, as we continue with doing both some of the work of grief, but also begin to allow a bit more life back into our life, music, Mother Nature, being with friends, respite, and so on, that we begin to get a bit more balance between the life-giving aspects of our day, as well as some of the times for grief. And we may need assistance with family and friends, with professionals, to do some of that sorting. One of my colleagues at the University of Minnesota said that those who get through a tragedy point at least to one person who stood by them, supported them, and gave them a sense of hope. Who's there for you? With whom can you share this?
Now, you also mentioned that for some, grief is spiritual.
Yes.
How does that manifest itself?
Well, there may be a faith crisis. There also may be a way in which people have more faith in us than we had in ourselves, or the faith community, the temple, the mosque, the church rallies around us. It may be, as the Psalms, many of the Psalms, not only are Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, and the kind of reassurance, but it's also, where were you, God, when I needed you? Why did this happen to me? And so it's the dialogue with God. And the best of the laments in terms of the Psalms not only start with that lament and that distress, but God, please surround me. still be with me. It often ends with that kind of cadence at the end of the psalm, God, I still need you.
And then for some people, they may not have that kind of support at all, and yet they have to go back into the workplace. How can they cope with that, just getting on with what is called normal life?
Well, part of it is that we don't return to normal after a major loss, after a major change, a bereavement or a diagnosis or things of that sort. But it's a new normal, life living with loss, with this new aspect added. And so as we reenter the workplace, it most easily happens when we have supportive family and friends that we've been with, and then hopefully an open workplace. And I know that the Hospice Foundation is doing some wonderful work that they call their Grief at Work series, in which they're trying to aid managers and employers and CEOs and fellow employees to be compassionate as someone re-enters after a tragedy in their lives. And it simply may be to give them some space to talk if they choose, but in some case to focus on work. Some people said, I've had the cancer up to here. I've had the funeral up to here. I want to talk about work. And so don't ask me all the time about my bereavement. And so it's different strokes for different folks, that people respond in different ways, and some people are quite ready to talk about it. Others need a bit of space.